You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The title of tonight's teaching is Live by Believing. Live by Believing. And Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
The just shall live by faith," or believing. And verse 16 says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God. God is at the center. It is the power of God. Not the power of you and me, it's the power of God. And verse 17 says, therein, within that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And that we should live by believing. If you think about a skyscraper, for example, so you got 125 story skyscraper, really, 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 really tall. They don't build the 125th floor first and hang it from a crane and then start adding underneath it till they get to the bottom of it, right? That would be ridiculous. That's not what they do. But they don't even build the first floor first. They dig a big hole in the ground and they build a foundation first, right? In order for that really tall skyscraper to be built and to stand properly, it has to have a strong foundation. You have to dig out all the junk in the ground, and then you can lay a foundation that you can build something on. And so that's what we got to do. We've got to have a great foundation of God's Word in our lives to be able to grow tall and to stand. Because nothing stands very tall for very long without a good foundation. My kids like to play this little Jenga game, and they'll pull out the blocks and they'll add on top. And they pull out the blocks and add on top. And very soon, the foundation of that Jenga tower is very slim, and it's growing ever taller, and it quickly falls over because the foundation is compromised. It can't get very tall without a solid foundation. So once you know what the Word says, then you can believe it. Okay, that's the foundation. Knowing what the Word of God says is the foundation. What is available, right? That was Dr. Werewolf's first thing. Knowing what the Word of God says is available would be where to start. Believing it makes up the building blocks to stand tall on God's Word. Verse 17 again says that the just shall live by faith or believing. And that's true in two ways, right? It is by believing Romans 10, 9 and 10 that we are made literally alive spiritually. So the just will live, they'll have a spiritual life by believing Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it is by believing God's word that we can live this life that we have more abundantly. So if we're going to live life the way it's meant to be lived, then it's going to be by believing God's word. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 24. So you've got to dig out the junk and you've got to replace it with the concrete truths in God's word. You know, that's like a pun there, okay? You fill out the junk and you lay down the concrete truths in God's word as the foundation. And then you can stand tall on it. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or payment through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So our righteousness, our justification, is from God via our believing. Our righteousness and our justification comes from God because of our believing. So how do we tap into the abundance of the new life then? Chapter 4, verse 1 says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Which is basically a fancy way of saying, what did Abraham by his flesh find? What did Abraham by his flesh find? So it's a question we're going to answer. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So if Abraham was justified by works, then he would have that to glory in, but it would not be before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? For righteousness. Abraham believed God, not in his own flesh. Not in his own flesh. He didn't find anything by his own flesh. He found righteousness by believing God. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So if we work for something, then it's owed to us. It's a debt that must be paid because we earned it, right? I go to work and I put in my 40 hours plus a week and I get paid. That's what's owed to me because of what I did. But I earned that. But the glory, as it talks about in verse 2, is ours, right? That's my glory. I did it. I worked for those hours and I received some payment for it. But the reward for works can never amount to much. Okay, so the reward for works can never amount to what is rewarded to us by grace. Right? We can earn some money, we can earn some fame, we can earn some stuff when we work for it ourselves, but ultimately all that stuff pales in comparison to what we have by grace, by our believing. By our believing. But to him that worketh not, verse 5 again, but to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. For righteousness, which is better than anything you could earn for yourself. Those rewards can never amount to much, but our believing is not works. That believing amounts in, results in, righteousness. It amounts to righteousness. So believing is our free will expression for God to work in our lives. Okay? Believing is our free will expression for God to work in our lives. God gave us free will, right? So people ask, well, if God's so good, why doesn't he just heal every person in the world? Why is there anything bad? Well, the answer, of course, first, number one, is that there's an adversary, right? So bad stuff happens. But God just can't overstep the bounds of free will. He can't start healing everybody. He didn't ask for it, right? He can't just do that. Else he would be violating man's free will. So believing is your free will expression for God to work in your life, and you believe God's word and you ask for him to help you, then he can. Then he can. And God had to require some form of commitment from man. That's what the believing is. Not doing so would violate free will. If you didn't bother to believe, then God just healed you up for the heck of it, that violates your free will decision. You have to believe. That's your commitment to God, is that believing. So if you have a wonderful present for me, okay? You've carefully purchased or crafted a delightful present for me, and you tell me to hold out my hands. I can do one of two things. I cannot bother to hold out my hands at all and flat out walk away from you. And will I receive that present? No, I won't get that present. Or I can hold out my hand. I can hold out my hand. The requirement is that I trust you. The requirement is that I believe that what you just told me about having a present for me is true. I could be like, ah, you're funny, and turn around and walk away. I could say, I don't believe that for a minute. When have you ever gotten me anything at all? Or I can hold out my hand and believe you. And I can do that by acting out on it and holding out my hand. That's what believing is. That's all that believing is. It's trusting that God has something for you, wonderful for you, and you hold out your hand. And you say, yes, please. So the question then is, did my holding out my hand get me the present? And the answer to that is no, it didn't. It was meeting a necessary condition for your act of giving it to me. I didn't go get that present. I put zero effort into acquiring said gift. Holding out my hand was just the one thing I needed to do to receive it. Right? It was the one thing that I needed to do to receive it. It fulfilled your act of giving it to me. So it's God that does the giving. It's God that does the giving. He's got the power to give. He's got the power to do something awesome for you. Your condition is believing. Believing isn't a cause. God is the cause. Believing is meeting the necessary condition so that God can do it. And therefore, the glory goes to God, right? It's God who did something wonderful for you. So, do you believe, Hannah, do you believe that Mom and Dad are your parents?
Yes.
You believe that with your whole heart? Yeah. Did it cause us to become your parents? Did your believing cause Mom and Dad to be Mom and Dad? No. We were already Mom and Dad. But you believe it. And do you find it difficult to believe that we're your parents? No. Because you know we are. It's pretty simple. And so that can be our relationship with God, right? Is that we just believe that he wants to do this stuff for us. It doesn't cause him to do the stuff for us. He's wanting to give to you all the time. It's, you're going to go ahead and accept that. You're going to go ahead and accept that he's going to do it for you. So, we're also all sitting down, right? Except for Elizabeth. So she's probably sitting down there. Is your believing holding you up off the floor? Is your believing holding you up off of the floor?
No.
No, it's not. It's the chair holding you up off the floor. It's the chair. You met the necessary condition of plopping your butt on the seat. And the chair did the rest of the work. Right? The chair did the rest of the work. Do you deserve the credit for not being on the floor right now? No, the chair does. It's what's holding you up. So God deserves the credit. He deserves the glory when he works in your life, right? All you have to do is believe. It's pretty simple. God designed you to believe. He wants you to believe the promises that are in his word. He designed you. His promise is not your works or what's going to hold you up. right? You squatting and sitting your butt down isn't what's holding you up. Those works didn't get you to be held up. The chair is holding you up. You just met the necessary condition to be on the chair. It's doing the work. So God deserves the credit for everything that we have, and we shouldn't have to try to work it out ourselves. Romans 4, verse 6. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Abraham is the father of all those who believe. That includes you and me. Christ was of his lineage, and we are brothers and sisters with Christ. That's the magnitude of God's promise to Abraham. Verse 12. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet, or he had been yet, uncircumcised. So that's the magnitude of God's promise to him, those of the circumcision and uncircumcision. He promised Abraham a great family, great seed. His circumcision happened when he was 99 years old. It was a token of his believing, and he had that believing while he was yet uncircumcised. He was 75 years old when he received the promise of God. He was 75 years old. And he tried once at age 86, after waiting 11 years, to work it out himself with Hagar. He said, oh, I'm getting kind of old here. If I'm really going to have all these children, maybe I've got to do something about that. And he tried to work it out himself. But then he received, at 99 years old, the promise of God. He believed. It's interesting that circumcision is the removal of flesh, right? A reminder that fleshly works are not going to bring about the promises of God. That was the token to Abraham, that he had some of his flesh removed as a sign, as a symbol, that it was God who had done this for him at 99 years old. If we stop and we think that speaking in tongues is our proof that we believe God, right? The fact that we can speak in tongues is proof that we believe God raised a man from the dead. Okay? So if you're ever wondering, do I really believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Raised a man from the dead. Speaking tongues is proof that you did. A cold, lifeless corpse got up, and we believe that. And speaking in tongues is our assurance that it happened. It's our proof of eternal life. Right? It's our assurance that we believe God and that he keeps his end of the bargain, if you will. So when we speak in tongues, we can think about what it means. It means that God does hold up his end of the bargain. And it means that we, at some point, if nothing else in our lives, had believed something was true about God and his word, right? And that can be a foundation that we build upon, that we can build upon in our lives. It's your proof that you have eternal life, that you can't be destroyed, right? That's pretty comforting. If you think about, like, a rock climber, and he's got a belay partner, that he can do really crazy things. Like, he can reach for heights and for holds that he can't even see because he knows that he's got somebody belaying him, right? That he can reach up and go for it and grab for something that he can't even see because he feels safe in that, right? That he, if he slips, he's not gonna fall. He might miss the hold, but he's not gonna fall. So speaking in tongues can be that for us, that proof, that assurance that we can do supernatural things, right? Things that are beyond the normal, the natural. We can do those things. It's our proof. Romans 4:18 says, who against hope, the hope of his five senses, this is talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered, and the word not is not in the text there, he considered his own body now dead. He knew that. He thought about that when he was about 100 years old. And the words neither yet should be the word and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Right? Verse 18 says, who against hope, the hope offered by his five senses, in direct opposition to that hope, in direct opposition to his five senses, is how you live by believing. If we want to live by believing, it often has to be in direct opposition to our five senses. Because most of the time, if not all the time, that God works in a situation, it doesn't make any sense by the five senses. It just doesn't. And that's because God's working in the situation to do something awesome for you. Right? So that you are assured that it was God working in your life. Right? You find an axe head sunk at the bottom of the river by throwing a stick in the water and having it float, it doesn't make any sense. If you need to fight an army and a bunch of bees show up and take them out, it doesn't make any sense. If you march around a large city walled up really high and blow some trumpets and they all fall down, it doesn't make any sense. But it's God working in that situation to do something incredible. And so we have to turn our five senses off and expect to receive. Living by believing means that you have to burn the bridges of circumstances. Okay? They're not going to make sense. And moving on the remaining path of God's work, of God's promises. Burn all those other bridges of circumstances and take the one remaining path that's God's word. Go to verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. He didn't stagger at the promise of God through his unbelief. And that stagger is like a stumbling block. He turned the circumstances off. He tried for a while to work it out himself, but he eventually got to the point where he turned that off and said, if this is going to happen, it's going to be you, God. What good is it asking God to wake you up every day at 6 a.m. if you're going to set the alarm for 6:05 just in case? Where's the believing? Where's the trust? Right? You have to turn that circumstance off. You have to say, forget it. I believe that God's going to get me up every day. Throw it in the garbage if you want. But if you're going to leave it out there as a just in case, then you have to be honest with yourself. Right? Are you really believing? Do you really think it's going to happen? How do we learn to trust? It's by letting go. It's by letting go and letting God work. right? And sometimes that means you screw up a little bit. And that's okay, because the alternative is you never get there. The alternative is you just never do it. So you've got to be willing to let go and let God work and take that first step. Abraham knew the circumstances. He was 99 years old. His wife's womb should have been dead, but he opposed them. He opposed them. Verse 20 again. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to himself. Mm-hmm. I'm so awesome. I believed. No, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, trusting completely that what had been promised, that what he had promised, God was able also to perform. Right? He believed that God could do it, that God wanted to do it, and that God could do it. And he received the promise. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. And so that's how we live by believing. We have to turn the circumstances off in our brain. We have to be willing to accept that it's not going to make any sense. When we get those thoughts, those inclinations, those like random feelings or ideas that, hey, maybe I could do this, and then our brain goes, oh, it makes sense. Don't do that. We have to learn to say, I want to do it. Because what if it's God? What if it's God? Don't walk out into traffic just because you think it's a good idea. But you're not supposed to be foolish about it. But take that step. Take that step. Because it could be God. And there might be times where it's not. But don't beat yourself up over it. If you don't take the step, you'll never learn to walk. You just won't. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. And that's what that means. Don't throw it away. Don't sit there and think, well, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense, and throw it away. Why not? Cast therefore away, not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The end result is a great reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Sometimes that's all we need, is to be a little patient with it. Abraham waited a long time, but he received the promise of God. So don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence. If you have a need, if there's something going on in your life that you're praying for, and you know that God's word says you can get deliverance or get that prayer answered, just because it doesn't happen the next instant doesn't mean that God's not able to do it, right? The children of Israel, when they were fleeing from Egypt, they got up to the river, or the Red Sea, before it started to move. They put their feet in it, and there it goes. What if they ran up to it and they were like, 50 yards away for it, and they're like, it's not moving, and they just stopped, because it wasn't moving yet. They would have got slaughtered, right? God's going to make it happen for you before it's too late. You don't have to think it's too late. 50 yards away ain't too late. Sometimes you just got to get in it. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith, believing, is the substance of things hoped for. Word hoped is prayed. Believing is the substance of things prayed for, the evidence of things not seen. And the literal translation that Dr. Werwald would often use is, believing is the title deed to things prayed for, the reality that these are yours even before you receive them. Even before you receive them. So that's what believing is. It's that expectation. It's that title deed. It's that voucher that you're cashing in before you've even got it, because you know what it's worth. And you know that God's going to keep his promises. And that's what it is to live by believing, to throw away those circumstances and to trust in God and see great things come to pass in your life when you do so.